Hey, Pants people. Just wanted to take a brief moment before the episode to say thanks for listening and thanks for being our friends. Enjoy.
Of yesterday have lingered darkly in the minds of all residents of all worlds. The merchant monarchy of Zinda targeted by a serial killer. The entire Ein family slain. Meloara, Azranir, tragedies all. On top of that, we have confirmation of the deaths of Arl Avim and Amalmata were also linked to this plot. Those bloodletter revolutionaries that were taken into custody for Amalmata's murder are being considered for release in the wake of this new information. And who was behind all of this? None other than Diva Luma. We have received diamond recordings provided by the captain of the Silent Burst that reveal everything. And who was it that saw through to the heart of this plot? That brought down the deadly Diva and her spirit servant and stopped them from stealing any more lives? Who, I ask? Well, folks, you ain't gonna believe this.
We open into darkness, and we see Jean, face locked in frustrated agony, floating amidst blackness with a voice just ringing out, echoing all around him. His own voice, speaking lines from the past, lines that in our journey together we have all heard.
My name is Jean Franklin Montelio, by far the greatest, most noble warrior you could have on your side. And the important thing is justice was done. That fool Kasim will spend an eternity in Atasha's prison, the Sky Prison. Isn't that lovely? He was supposed to be my guide. So what are we supposed to do when we can't ask him where to go? Does that make me a terrible person, sir? Does this change in the very pillars of my beliefs make me weak? Father is a lying, betraying murderer. All the kings of Koin are. They're all murderers, sir, and I'm going to prove it to the worlds.
All of this and more mingling together into a horrid cacophony. You see him brace his head against it, fingers going to his temples, pressing deep into his scales or skin, whatever turtles have. But something swells behind the noise, and you see him, his fingers begin to release, his face begins to calm as something, another sound, a uniform, chanting, repeated, growing in volume, pushing away the words, the doubts, the failures. This wonderful, wonderful sound.
For golden tides! For golden tides! For golden tides!
Light explodes in the darkness, driving away all shadow, all sound, apart from that glorious chant. A golden light in the shape of Blanche Trudeau standing tall, sword raised towards the heavens. Standing just as she had all those years ago when she had won the Golden Bay tourney and claimed her title as Master Defense. When a young Jean Franklin stared in awe, his heart forever changed. We see Jean's eyes snap open, his features strained. He snaps up from the covers of his bed he lies in, his movements pushed by a deep, frustrated fury. Damn it! And beside him,
Jean, is all well?
We see Ledoux raised from the covers.
It's none of your concern, Ledoux. A dismissal, really. Might I remind you that it was you who came to me in the middle of the night? With our evening so unsatisfying? It was good, Ledoux. It was very, very good. I have no issues with our choices last evening. May have been the single right choice I've made of late.
Jean, this again? You couldn't have known the truth about Eden, your father?
Yet Blanche trusted him. She humored me, sure, but she knew I was wrong.
The Master Defense is simply loyal to your house. I failed to see.
You weren't there, Ledoux. You didn't see her that day.
He kind of rises up, begins to very uniformly start making his side of the bed. Covers neat. Something that's beaten into him in years. I mean, not beaten, but you know what I mean.
The day she earned her title. The way she stood, reflecting Cardinarella's golden glory. I've seen champions aplenty, but none like Master Blanche. I knew that she would always get it right. She has never let me down, let anyone down. I wanted that. More than learning to fight like her, I wanted to be good like her. But I'm starting to realize that I can't learn that. I'm just going to fuck it up, time and time again. I thought if I followed the letter of the law, I would always be right. A pitfall that Jules swiftly pulled me from. Then perhaps my sense of honor would lead me to righteousness. Yet all it did was drive me to defend a monster and attempt to destroy my own house. What would they have done to our people, the Tortle people? To Father, to Blanche? I just want to be a good person. Why is it so hard?
I think maybe that's because you are a good person.
Jean just stands up, his side of the bed fully made, and just moves to the wall with sort of furious step, grabs his spear, a newly mended banner hanging from it.
I should train. I only have 9 days until... I'll see you tonight.
And the dude just watches on as Jean Franklin pounds through the door and almost slams it behind him. Steps retreating down the hall. We cut outside this... the thorn apple that's established underneath. There's a small sort of recreational court in the back, and here under the very, very early day, the sun still barely breaking into day here, Jean begins to just training with the spear.
The coral catches the fish. The urchins strike. Damn it.
And maybe as we hone in on this, as we see Jean working so hard, maybe we pan back and see Blanche watching from afar, perhaps out on your own morning jog, your bed already well made, your eyes catching your pupil and your mind flashing back to the day before, to De Piero taking his leave. You see a contingent of your own soldiers had been waiting on standby in Zinda. Not really allowed. I mean, allowing Ledoux already was kind of like pushing the limits of what the Grand Messer would, you know, bring into this party. It's supposed to be a very, very enclosed affair. And the Silenverse was supposed to be the only sort of armed guard. But there were some... What's the word?
A retinue. They were nearby. They were waiting.
Yeah. So
I'm sure they escorted him there to bring him home.
Exactly. Yeah. You up to this point, the Golden Bay don't really utilize the Silent Verse. Even though De Piero was a king of coin, the Golden Bay maintains their own sort of trained military and policing force.
Badass.
Which is, of course, what you control as the Master of Defense. And so we see here, as De Piero is making way to depart, wagons are loaded with whatever belongings he brought, about to get back on an elephant, because of course he is.
You gotta ride in style.
You gotta ride in style. Penny's back. It's the elephant that was kind of hurt before.
Oh, Penny.
It's Penny. you see a number of Tortles and Salute standing by, you know, perfect posture as you taught them, and De Piero staying before them. He's sort of grumbling to you as he's about to make his leave. Jean and Ledoux and everyone else sort of already made their way towards the thorn apple, but perhaps the loyal soldier, loyal master defense, you stayed to make sure your liege escaped unharmed.
At least to see him off,
yeah.
If she's not actually going.
Watch him, master defense. Keep an eye on my son. He's so much like his mother. Pure, focused wholly on means rather than their ends. I often wonder where our house would be had she not passed. Had my ambitions not gone unchecked.
And there's like a weird bitterness to him here. Not a bitterness towards John, but a bitterness almost towards himself. You see, he kind of turns to the side. He doesn't look you in the eye and just says,
"Tell me, Master Defense, in your opinion, have I been a good ruler? Have I led the Tortle people well?"
Well, my lord, I suppose that I'm not qualified to say, but I couldn't imagine backing anyone else.
This doesn't make him happy. You read, he kind of winces, almost like this strikes at him in some way.
Master of Defense, Blanche, you have proven yourself once again to be invaluable to our house and people. In truth, I begin to wonder if you were sent to my side by Condorara themselves. A boon and a test. My son was wrong about proud Edun, but I fear he was right about me. I do not deserve your loyalty.
And before you can say, I
have much to consider over these next 10 days. And we have much to discuss when we meet again. In the meantime, take care of him. Please.
I'll keep an eye on Jean, but the boys, well, you've seen he's quite capable on his own.
Yes. Quite capable.
And there's something in his eyes as he turns away from you, begins to move towards the elephant, and watching your liege's sort of slooping shoulders as if burdened by a great weight, it strikes you in this moment that DiPiero and Jean Franklin are just so much more alike than they may ever realize, so burdened by this self-doubt that they pretend they don't carry. At least the father does. And as we fade away from this, you watch Jean.
Damn it!
Training under the morning light.
Blanche sort of walks around the corner a little bit closer to Jean. Your form is good, but rigid, as always, when you're in this manner.
I... Yes, sir. My apologies, sir.
You'll do more harm than good training your muscles in this mindset.
Yes,
sit,
of course.
Sit.
Yes, sir.
Kinda lowers down.
And Blanche and John sit, sort of like cross-legged, and she brings him through like a... like a meditative sort of breathing exercise.
I love this. With all your oceanic, like move sets and phrases, I imagine there's a lot of, like, you know, you're on the beach, you're hearing.
Right, exactly. You know,
it's,
yeah.
Like, it's very...
Imagine the waves, John.
Yes. Yes, sir.
The waves bring all the stress in, and they gather in one place, and when the waves go out, you expel.
Yes.
Now, try again.
He looks at you with a smile and uses his spear to kind of hoist himself back up. One strong movement, twists it in his arms, drops into a stance.
Sir, your order?
But move.
A rhyming move. Pike strike!
Pike strike, I love it!
Sir, that's one of the basics. I'm... No, you're right. Always establish the basics, then move on to the more complex. Yes.
Always the fundamentals, Jean.
The fundamentals, I'm sorry, yes. Pike, strain.
Perfect sort of easy movement. Shoulders go in. Spear flashes out so fast. It's getting quicker. His jabs getting quicker, deadlier every single day.
He just might pull this off.
Perhaps we pan out here as Blanche is coaching Jean through more, the more complex styles and skills that you've taught him, and just kind of going through the entire arsenal. We'll pan up and up and up to the top of this in the Thorn Apple, where some very recently opened curtains flood light into the room that belongs to Jules and Chester. Light that has fallen onto an intruder that has appeared in the night. Sturge Man. Chester, Jules, you both face this figure as the mask is removed from the man. The Sturge Man, this helm of telepathy, just lowers to his side, and you see an easy, bright smile on a boyish, handsome face, elegant features with large eyes, dark skin, and a fully shaved head. This face, you see, truly is a match to Larissa Reen's. I suppose there's no reason for this sweaty thing. You know who I really am, and it seems detecting your thoughts isn't a possibility anyway. Ring of mind shielding? Don't need to tell me. I know my magic items.
Congratulations, David, you remembered.
I can look at your sheets. I want to make sure it's out there. That,
oh,
yeah,
God.
You still have it. You still have this power to, like, totally deflect mind shielding or mind reading.
Uh-huh.
And, like, control it. It's pretty great. You see Sturge Man shifts and something kind of rolls out from just beneath his legs. You see a bottle. There's another one sort of half full resting on the arm of his chair. Bottles of jelly wine, and you looking into this face and seeing these somewhat like red, somewhat kind of unfocused eyes, you realize Sturge Man's a little drunk.
He's drunk.
Whoa.
Sturge Man is a little drunk.
Whoa.
Uh-oh.
There's maybe a silence for a moment as you kind of take this in, as he's kind of looking at you, blinks a few times.
Ah, you're probably still mad about the kids, right? It was nothing personal. And my involvement was minimal. Rune asked that I find a way to hurt you, to send a message. I told him about the coyote and the kids. That's it. That's all. He asked me to kill you since then, but I turned him down. He knows who I am, too. Just as you do. So he has some power to blackmail me, but he won't push it. He knows that I could kill him easily.
Look at me. Never again.
You don't need to tell me that, Jules. You have done... You don't understand what you have done for me. Rune, whatever partnership I have with him, if it pertains to you, it's ignored. He set me up with this identity, this luminary figure, the mysterious Sturge Man. It was all his idea. My father funded it. Rune planned it. He pulled some strings, and I owe him, which is why I have not arrested him yet. The time may come. But you, Jules, you've done so much more for me than that. My sister, I have heard tell of what has happened last night. I heard it from her herself. You saved her while my bumbling father sat there in shock. You, a real luminary. There are so few real luminaries. But you... He just reaches down to the bottle. To you, Jules.
Raise it to his lips and begins to drink little trickles of dark wine running down the corner's mouth.
It's pretty good, huh?
It's very good. I have much to celebrate, and this is my home in the height of celebration. So, how about a toast together? What commonality do we share?
Kind of snaps fingers and sort of looks like he just realized.
To shit fathers, how about?
I know. Yours was a piece. Does Jules laugh?
No.
No. Okay. What's Jules? How are you taking this? Like, he's talking about shit fathers and brings up your father. And, like, what's... This is just a weird, surreal... You just woke up.
Jules,
you have a hangover.
Jules will grab the nearest... he'll grab the nearest bottle. He doesn't laugh.
Chester had a few leftovers next to him.
But he'll raise up the bottle to leave in the shit fathers in the past.
Were I only so lucky. I got to help arrest yours. I can only hope that my father joins him in the sky prison someday. But family is complicated, right?
Raises up and drinks. Do you drink too?
Mm-hmm. Damn it.
Surreal. Yeah, just another
I should have waited to open my beer until
oh
now.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Drink your beer.
There we go, it's open.
Nice.
I think Sturgeon like lowers his head and sort of shakes it.
Yes, my father is a megalomaniacal pile of shit, but my sister, she really loves him. Her only true weakness. But once he's gone, Jules, once I kill him, she'll be in charge. Thanks to you, these plans can still push forward. My only true family yet lives, and I am indebted to you. This whole city is indebted to you. The Reese's survival ensures a bright future for our world. Zinda, this city of sin,
will change beneath Grand Madame Larissa Nier. My revolutionaries have already started to pave the way. He mentions revolutionaries and his eyes flicker to you to see if there's any reaction.
No.
You surprise me. You and your party learned that Diva Luma is a secret serial killer, yet never figured out who the true founder of the Bloodletters really is. It's right there in the name, Jules. The Bloodletters. I... looks under the side. I wear a mosquito mask.
Shit. Damn.
You see, that's another link that binds us. We see the worlds for what they really are, and we see how much better they can be when the filth is cleaned up. We are the leaders of a new order, a just order where the rich are made to follow the very laws they write. We believe in justice. True justice.
You be careful with that, though. It's a fine line.
Care. We can't dwell on care. Our burden is too great. The changes we can bring to these worlds, they can shape so many lives. We have power over people.
Well, you just answered my question.
Hmm?
If you don't have care, then what are you doing this for?
I thought you were there. In the tower, you watched your father. The way he ruled, the way he looked down on everyone.
You don't beat power with more power.
Of course you do. When those who ignore the laws can thrive. Law binds us. Law should bind all, like gravity itself. Bring them down. Those on high should fall farther and harder when the new order comes.
Fine line. Just be careful.
Of course. Of course. Kind of raises his hands up. Of course. I don't wish to get heated with you, Jules. We're friends. Another swig. I think Chester's been staring this whole time, kind of like in pure disbelief, kind of like backed up towards the window. He actually has his bow in hand. He's kind of during this time, like snuck over to it, like gotten a hold of it, facing it down. You see there's almost like this malign magic that's starting to fade. Perhaps he's starting to realize it's okay, but he was ready to go. Sergeant's eyes flicker to him, flicker back to you. But I am impeding your celebrations. I should take my leave. But before I go, gifts. He kind of stands up slowly and unfastens something from his belt. You see, like, it's a full, like, utility belt of magical gear. Like, yo, I think some of the pockets in the belt he can reach into and you pull, like, things are way too big for it. He has a number of bags of holding, like, on his belt in pouch form. He kind of reaches in, pulls out a couple things. You see he grabs a stone. You've seen sending stones before when Crispin was using one to speak with Dresden on Saint-Étienne. You see one now, but this one has kind of a strange design etched into it. One that looks like a hybrid of a bat and a mosquito, a sturge. There may come a time when you want to contact me. The Sturge Stone. How dare you? How dare you? Fine. Very well. The sending Sturge.
No, it got worse.
Oh, my God. Oh, fuck.
It just gets worse and worse and worse.
It just emits, like, a high-pitched frequency. Just, like, travels across the worlds.
Oh, my God.
He lowers it down into the chair. I think he doesn't approach you because he gets that feeling. Maybe it's something that he experiences as well, that you don't take well to people you don't really know stepping up close to you.
Yeah, and quick question.
Yeah.
These, like, sending stones.
Yeah.
Do they only work...
Sturge stone.
Sending Sturge, yeah, please.
Shut the fuck up. Do these only work if both sides activate it, or can it... can somebody listen in without the other's knowledge?
Yeah, only if both sides activate it.
Okay.
You would basically... You could send a message.
So it's not something that he can, like, listen through...
Yes. Yeah, he can't listen.
Okay, cool. We're good. That's fine.
Yeah, you could basically, he could send a message to you, but it would be like, and then you could respond to it, but you would be aware of it. And the way I have him work is like, you hear, normally they just happen in your brain. I like to have it work like a weird little like creepy cell phone where like the little mouths in the stone start to open and close and like make a whispering sound. When you pick it up, you hear the voice through it. It's just fun and magical and creepy.
Waspy talkie.
Waspy talkie.
Waspy talkie.
That's pretty good.
That's not bad.
That's really good. That's better than sending Sturge.
He leaves it down, and then you see he reaches down, and this. And he pulls, maybe not actually in a pouch, but just resting on his belt, a fine-looking blade. You see a handle of, like, a dark sort of red that matches the Sturge costume. And even the handle itself seems to, like, the sort of guard breaks out into two bat-like wings. The sort of body seems to form a shape.
Ooh.
And you see, like, almost, like, connected to the guard is the very sort of bear of like the Sturge head that the nose forms into the very long pointed blade of this rapier. I believe this is your weapon of choice.
Oh,
the Sturge sword.
Baby.
Fuck.
It was good until it wasn't.
The thing about this is what's called a rapier of life stealing. Is a magical weapon as far as it's concerned, damage is concerned. When you attack a creature with its weapon and roll a 20 on the attack roll, that target takes an extra 10 necrotic damage. And if it's not a construct or undead, you gain 10 temporary hit points.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
It's a life drain.
Okay.
It's very Sturge. It's very Sturge. Leans it up against the chair and then sort of stands. I thank you again, Jules. I look forward to meeting you again. I'm going to take the door, because now that it's daytime, it's hard for me to do the window, the cool window thing I did, but...
No, try it.
No, I'm just going to walk.
It'd be real weird. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I wish I'd left earlier.
Do it.
I want to watch you sleep.
Now this is just...
See ya.
I'm sexy and you know it!
He just leaves. Hear the door close behind him.
That took a turn.
Give me a second. I want to change the song. Let's talk about the next 10 days. Or, I guess in this case, next 9 days. The first day has ended. Remember, this is a 10-day sort of celebration. The first day was... a lot of shit went down. You burned everything in the attempt to, like, save these people. But you made it through. And now, one of those rare moments in time where our heroes can actually celebrate their victory. And so we see these celebrations to a quick blur, a montage of what people are up to. I told you already that during these 10 days, you're going to level up. So perhaps intermingle with celebration there, some studying, some training. I know we see Jean training hard every day, almost all day. There's actually very little rest that he takes just preparing for the Golden Bay tourney. Perhaps many mornings are spent with him. Blanche coming upon him. They go over the meditation, and then they go through the forms, the fundamentals, again and again, and he gets faster and faster and faster. And I'll tell you right now that Jean, at the next level, has access to an extra attack per turn. Power spike the turtle.
That's going to be great for him.
Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah. See, he's been working hard this week. And Blanche, you've kind of come to notice something a little interesting. That perhaps through pairing him visits here and there to check in on him, you found out that he has not been staying in his rooms lately. It seems that he's been making somebody else's bed in the morning. And it doesn't take a detective to know who's.
I also love the idea of Jean getting out of bed while... While Ledoux is still in bed and Jean making his half of the bed.
100% that.
He
won't start the day without it, and Ledoux's kind of a late sleeper.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to see a kiss, but this will do. This will do.
No kiss.
We're classy.
You.
We keep it off camera.
Maybe we'll kiss. Maybe we'll kiss, but not today. Not today. It's crazy. Speaking of Ledoux, we actually see that throughout this week, he's in near constant meetings with the other kings of court. With their families, with various merchants throughout the town. This to him is a work trip, and he is dedicated to doing what he can to like further the Golden Bay's sort of influence in Zinda. And so he's working, he's pushing at it.
Yeah.
And he's making good deals. He's actually been spending a lot of time with Margus Ruba in particular, who I think you've all probably seen a fair bit, as they are just having a blast during the celebration now that the negative bits are out of the way.
Chester actually spending a lot of time with these silent verse. You know, he was kind of speaking with them a lot during that first day, and he's kind of become
friends. Made some friends. Yeah, that's great.
Hey. It actually turns out that a number of officers are accomplished crossbow snipers.
Ooh,
he's picking up some tricks. Even doing a bit of training with Harlan himself. Harlan and Chester working at it in the fields. He's been good spirits following the events at the palace. His insistence on saving Diva Luma brought him some turmoil following that betrayal, but he's faced darker things and he's come through. Time and rest, he knows, will help to wash these pains clean, and so he channels those pains into the bow every day. Training. Also getting a little faster, because he too at level 6 gains an extra attack. So, another big power spike for another sidekick.
All sorts of crazy fast-hitting boys around here.
Oh, yeah.
See, Margus and Zenya invite you to party after party, parade after parade. The two are inseparable during the time of the march. You also note that Samira Ara, tailed by Harlan Burnshadow, joined the Rubens in celebration here and there. There's a somber air to Samira, but buried within a spark of true, buried within it is a spark of true joy as she takes Zenya shopping to the markets, you know, once or twice. And there's a relationship there. There's a connection. You don't see Amos Nier again, nor do you see Larissa Rain. There's no announcement at this point of Larissa's true identity, but you know it. With the air gone, it's likely to follow soon. But the two have been shut off. The palace in which you battled, in which you struggled, has been closed off to the world during this celebration.
No Fyodor?
You know what?
I want some more omelets.
You know what? One night as you show up to Margus and Zenia's place.
I mean, he's got to go grocery shopping.
You see omelets lining the table. It turns
It
seems that following everything that happened at the manor, Fyodor found himself a better master to serve.
Whoa.
He works for Margus now.
Whoa.
Damn.
Holy macanoli.
Okay.
And so, yeah, there's definitely some, Blanche, the Jules, Elliot, how are you doing? Hey, there's a lot of, you know, he's happy, he's cheerful, everything is going well.
That's great.
So, during all of this, actually, one more thing before I get to that. During your time spent with Margus, Fyodor, Zenya, all that, there will come a night where Margus, while in their cups, offers you a relic of some import. A nice little magic item called the Amulet of the Drunkard. Essentially an amulet that allows you to recover HP off of alcohol once a day.
I'll take it.
Hell yeah.
Okay. Absolutely. Oh my god.
So that sort of slid out. Boom, party collects the Amulet of the Drunkard. Margus, delighted. And now, following all that, we've talked before about how this party, Jules and Blanche, they haven't really spent a lot of time together. You know, Zebulon and Jules, they live together in the Coyote. Blanche, she's got a job to do. She's got places to be on Zinda and the Golden Bay and all that. She's barely around the Radiant Citadel. So when you guys actually meet, it's because shit's going down. But now you find yourselves, Blanche, you're on vacation. You've been told to stay on vacation for a week, essentially. Jules, you're here. I mean, is there a time when these two line up, just like sitting at a busy bar, maybe the bottom floor of the Thorn Apple is in celebration, maybe you're watching a parade go by, beads all over your necks, just drinking out in the streets? What's going on? Give me a scene.
Yeah. You go, Jeremy.
No, go ahead. No.
I insist.
No, I insist.
No.
I mean, I imagine it's similar to a lot of the just kind of encounters we've had so far, where I think we have moments where, you know, first we sit down and we talk serious, we talk business, we just sit kind of on our own. But does Blanche drink?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I think there was a sake scene with...
Yes, he's right.
Because I love the idea of Blanche and Jules getting drunk together.
Totally. Maybe Blanche is sharing her love of sake.
Yeah.
There's a big stone crock, or a tall stone crock anyway. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they've got the small little cups that they use.
Oh, yeah.
And Blanche is pouring it out. It may be an acquired taste, but this one I find is... particularly smooth.
You want to put a bet on this? I can drink you under the table.
Well,
drinking contest.
This bottle may be more about quality than quantity, but
okay.
What do you say about
that's fair.
Tomorrow night back at the Thorn Apple?
All right.
Thorn Apple, right? Yeah. Thorn Apple.
Oh, yeah.
I heard drinking contest. I came running.
Chester, you're not old enough, but you're old enough.
I'm an alcoholic now. It's my new arc.
We kind of don't know.
No, it's Xena's drinking age is 16. I'm right there.
I don't know if anybody from DCF is listening, but...
It's Xena. There's toddlers in the street drinking.
It's cops everywhere.
City of Sin. Come on, gentlemen. hell yeah.
So that's quite the sod you got there from Stage Man. It's still... Well, it's hard to believe.
Yeah, I was a little surprised myself.
Yeah, especially after the stories you've told me about your run-ins in the past.
Yeah, I still don't trust him.
Smart.
But doesn't mean I'm not going to take a sword.
Yeah, of course, of course.
I mean, let's be real here.
Yeah. Speaking of your past, Jules, I've never gotten to Tythos. What was it like?
Ooh, this is interesting.
I love this.
Steven.
I want to know where you came from. I mean, you're here now in my home world, and I'd like to share in yours as much as I can.
If you, you gotta look past what you've seen on the network. Look to the people. Tythos was so rich in community and love. And genuine connection among the people.
All I ever saw, all I ever showed were, I mean, the towers.
Of course.
They were, I mean, magnificent. They were beautiful.
But that's not real. So much love and so much evil trying to stifle that love. But we stood together until the end.
Well, for what it's worth, she pours the last of the sake into the two cups. For what it's worth, I am, she hoists her glass to Tythos.
And to Xena.
And they clink glasses and...
Oh my gosh.
Empty them.
Speaking of clinking glasses.
Ooh.
That's a clinking noise.
Each of you take a button.
Oh, yeah.
I'll take it.
Each of you take a button.
Absolutely.
Oh, hell yeah.
I think that is the most words that have been exchanged between.
Well, right.
That was awesome.
I think it's his plan. Yeah,
it's awesome, and I love this because I think as that last little bit of sake is drained from your glass, Blanche, you look across to Jules and you think back to the last time you shared sake with somebody, and I think you realize it was Ozan. So long ago. This has been a personal, a private thing for you here on your world and on Nuari, but.
But we don't want to think about that right now. I think.
Come on, drink
Jules,
more.
Is it too late? Do you want to that drinking contest? Are you still on?
I'm always on.
I've already started.
I'm always on.
I think they're still pouring.
Just fair warning.
I'm too in.
I might ask to ride on your back.
I haven't had quite enough for that, but let's see what happens.
We'll get there.
Incredible. And so, 10 days of partying, of training, of studying, of working, of celebration, and of friendship pass in a blur. And we find ourselves at the end, the March of Vice. The parade has ended. The Prince of Vice has been cast into the sea, carrying all the sins of the city along with him. And the city is purged, and all is bright and sleepy. But where Xena sleeps, somewhere else, wakes. It's time to go to the Golden Bay. And so we are going to leave behind those white shining walls, the palaces, the kings of coin, and we're going to travel, not by elephant this time, because...
Penny's already gone.
DePiro didn't leave money for another elephant. So you're huffing it.
No pennies, so no penny.
A small retinue walking along the seacoast to the north. A short journey. A few hours on foot will bring us to another place of such beauty as Xena. Here, I think I've used this before, but I don't care. It's awesome. Here we see the sea has carved its niche into the land, a great bay. The shimmering water reflects a blue sky as the sun begins to sink towards the horizon's edge. As you're reaching this this area. You're cutting it close. The tourney is coming up soon. Perhaps John was dragging his feet this morning. You beeline towards this central beach. Structures of stone, more humble than Zinda in their material, but just as pompous in their spectacle. Banners of red and gold decorate these structures. All this surrounds you. All of these banners decorated by an image of a leaping fish. A red sky, a gold sea. You see turtles moving about, some mostly with the paler grayed out scales of the elderly wear full flowing robes like the Pierrot. But most tend to dress as Jean, wearing colorful trousers and sleeves over their arms, connected by chains of like jewel-adorned metal. They stop as you pass, all eyes locked on the returning prince, the turtle, luminary. Their smiles and awe-filled eyes follow him everywhere. Maybe some elderly tend to scowl and turn away, but the younger, love him. Children, their scales a vibrant green of or yellow or turquoise. They rush forward to greet the young lord, crowding around him and breaking into a barrage of questions. Oh, John, what's it like being a luminary? What's it like off-world? Did you really fight a spider? I'm sorry, I have to go. He's pushing past them. And as he is, just pushing through these crowds of people, as he gets closer and closer to the enormous stone arena that rises from the white sands of the beach, just dominating the harbor. You can see the tension rising in the set of his shoulders, and the stiffness of his steps. He starts responding to those waving, shuts down entirely, his eyes locked on the structure and the battle ahead. It's a curious place for you, Jules. I think you've never been somewhere that's so fully dominated by like a non-humanoid race. You see, just... Yeah. They kind of tend to look at you strangely. There's not many visitors. You know this, Blanche. Very few non-turtle visitors come to the Golden Bay. It's not far from the heart of civilization here, but there's still this sort of alienation. There's still this disconnect between the turtles and the people of Xena. So there's a lot of sort of wide eyes and gas following you, Jules.
And that's not anything that's new to Jules at all. I think he recognizes it, but it doesn't really faze him.
Yeah.
All that much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, for one thing, you're a luminary. You're used to a lot of eyes following you. A luminary and a prince. You guys got it all.
Except HP.
We cut to a quiet sort of stone room. A great door is resting on the edge of it that you know is going to open up soon. Magically, all of them will open as all champions pour from their personal chambers into the tide pool arena. When the sun hits just right, when the water reaches the very edges of the arena, figures will splash through it and begin their melee. Jean just... Man, I see Father's not here to greet me. No doubt ashamed of my mistakes in Zinda, but how to blame him, From the door behind, there's like a knocking, and there's a kind of... opens up. I think one of your soldiers, Blanche, comes forward.
Good. Well, I see you all here. Lord DePiero has asked me to bring this to you. A gift. Jean. Sorry, my lord.
Kneels and sort of presents something to Jean. All of your eyes lock on this gift. A spear of gleaming gold metal with a spiraling pattern lined by fine inscriptions running up its length. It's shaped, Blanche, as you see it, in the image of Condorala, which is which the turtle people know Condorala's form, or takes the form of, a twisting, spiraling coral reef jutting up from the bottom of the Golden Bay. This is a spear of great honor. This is, and then John sort of says your thoughts out loud.
This is... Father's spear, the king's spear, but why? I don't deserve to.
He's here with you, Jean.
And it's not even just him. You know, another part of what makes this so incredible is this: DePiero has never wielded this spear, but his wife had once. Jean steps towards it, hands sort of reaching out, and those fingers sort of close. No. I shouldn't be here. What? Sir, I can't do this. I can't. I can't go out there. I can't. Not alone. In front of all of our people. I'm not good enough or strong enough for this. I shouldn't have this. Just gestures towards the spear. Hell, I shouldn't even be here. A luminary. It's a joke. We all know that I was carried into this role by both of you, by Zeb. Sir, I'm nothing on my own.
Your father certainly thinks you deserve it. I think you deserve it. What was the point of all of our practice if you're going to give up now? When you're so close. John, you've earned this.
How?
The battle for the Golden Bay begins today.
What?
Defeated by the runaway.
Hey!
To their dismay. Display a array of forms and plays to slay your way through the disarray to prove to your sensei that you're the greatest.
No!
Mentored by greatness. Boss of the temple to honor his father, the latest. King of coin racists. Won't keep him down because he's got a crown. You'll make it. You've been trained to take hits. So look alive. Defend your sides for golden tides.
You take them in
to date, you could have slain Jules and Zeb in front of Rune's estate.
Well,
now with your new friend's trek to battle spooks and snakes, and when it's time to step, you escaped from the boulet.
You're right.
Can I take your hand? They'd be done with.
Yes.
If Jean wasn't there, Mesma would win. Takata Kolo and the sickness in the studio made Atash look witless, unstoppable.
You're right, sir. I can do this.
You take them and you break them.
A minute, I'll win it. My people, no worry, I'll spit shit. My habit of cowering twisted. I've underestimated this kid. For the last time, now blast rhymes. What the floor of these fools when you back to the moonlight for bedtime. On the way, I'm not on the Citadel. I'm back in Montana on bay time. It's a play sign from where the lights and the water they look like a sunrise. Okay, realize that now is the moment to feel.
Yeah! Get him, John!
Chester!
Keep it real! Bust them like blap, 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 step, 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 slam!
You take that.
So I guess
what we're saying,
Jean,
cheers,
is we believe in you and we're on your side.
You got this, buddy. You got this.
Amazing. Amazing. Hand reaches out and grasps the gold of the spear.
Yeah.
Plus one spear, actually, by the way.
Ooh, la-dee-da.
Nice.
Upgrade for Jean.
Okay.
Double upgrade now.
Oh, guys. That was awesome.
Yeah. It was so much fun.
We'll go into the details of the behind the scenes in the Unzipped episode.
Unzipped.
Unzipped.
Coming next Steven, week or the week after.
The week, 2 weeks from the release of this episode.
Ooh.
Oh. Steven, what's your zipper sound like?
That's pretty good.
Yep. Mike picked that up. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm going to leave it down. I'll leave it down.
Leave it down. Get
some air.
No,
leave it
up. Hey, leave it down, because this next scene's going to give you a boner. You need the space.
Oh, God.
So let's cut. Let's once again find ourselves in an arena of gray stone that stands upon the white sands of the coast. We can hear thunderous cheers as we move in towards rows of benches circling an open battleground. We see where a wide break in the ring of the benches faces the sea, where the lapping tide is swiftly filling the arena floor. The water surges in around the ankles of a number of combatants, all turtles. We see painted shells of many colors and crests, many of these characters wielding traditional spears and nets. some don shields. Only one carries a spear of gold that bears the waving banner of the Golden Bay. We cut to the stands, to the great viewing box where DePiero Montelio, who has been strangely silent until now, stands up and moves to the edge, hands raised towards the sky. Behind him, Blanche, Jules, and Chester. Blanche, Jules, and Chester.
I heard that.
No.
I heard that.
Watch from seats of high honor. The crowd hushes at DePiero's silent command. And after a short pause, his voice begins to boom across the benches. He begins his usual speech. You have seen our combatants. You have seen their strength and their honor. So I ask, good Tortles of the Bay, will these fighters impress Condor Allah? The tides have covered the arena floor. Condor Allah touches our fighters and watches from her throne beneath the waves. Should she be impressed by their powers in battle, then the tide shall be blessed with gold. Our harvest season begins tomorrow. Should it begin in glory, then the Golden Bay will be prosperous! Only one warrior will have the honor of welcoming Condor Allah's gift. Only our champion. As you are well aware, my son, the very son of our Golden Bay, has returned from his journeys to prove his worth. Let us all bear witness to his glory and see in it the future of the Tortle people! His eyes lock on to Jean Franklin, he smiles. And Jean, wielding that spear, meets his gaze and nods. Now the sun begins to sink. The sky will soon fill with crimson, and the time for golden blessings will be at hand. Let the melee commence! His final words is punctuated by the blaring of horns. In the arena, the fighters snap to action. Steven, how does Jean Franklin start this combat?
Fast and aggressive.
Hell yeah.
Whoever is closest to Jean, that's who he's attacking.
Just drops down and begins pounding forward, spear flashing out in an instant, catching this figure off guard. And as spear makes contact, he clings against a shield, slides past it. But as we see this sort of striking of metal, striking of gold, we cut to the end, where the sky is red with sunset. Jean Franklin stands in the center of the arena alone. The water level has risen swiftly since the combatant start, and now touches his waist. The defeated have been carried off the floor, unworthy of what comes next. Only vague murmuring can be heard throughout the stands. All hold their breath, waiting. All eyes are locked towards the opening in the ring where the tides of the bay push into the arena. It is time for Condor Allah's judgment. And once again, we watch as the water begins to fill with luminescent flakes of gold. They surge in from the depths of the bay, spreading across the whole of the arena beneath the darkening sky. A surge of new gasps and cheers as large dark shapes rise amongst the swirling gold. One moves just beside Jean Franklin, and his spear flies down in a flash, striking the water and sending ripples through the gold. He raises his spear, using both hands, and stares, mouth wide, at the massive fish that hangs on the blade. A rare black salmon, the season's first catch. A second honor, and one that has never occurred during the tournament. The luminescent algae that fills this arena has filled the surface of the bay outside as well, promising a mass migration of fresh fish and a surge of fortune for Meliteran, for the Golden Bay. Condor Allah's gift to deserving turtle kind. For the fish to come so soon is a sign of great fortune indeed. The algae swirls in a circle around the arena floor, moving around Jean, blending, shimmering, and soon Jean himself seems to be radiant with it. He looks to you, Blanche. You, sitting where he had so many years ago. And your eyes lock, your positions now perfectly reversed from that day. The golden radiance reflects most brilliantly off the fresh tears that run down your pupil's cheeks. He tries to hold a straight face, but can't stop the smile from taking his features. He nods to you, then turns his features towards the sky, raising his spear in the salmon and letting the crimson banner flap gloriously beneath a sky of the exact same shade by the Golden Tide! The crowd erupts into applause, horns blare again, mixing with the cheers and the chants and the roaring triumph. It all blends together. The very sound of honor punctuated by three words shouted over and over and over again.
For Golden Tides! For Golden Tides! For Golden Tides!
As cheering finally begins to die down, John lowering his catch down, standing in this moment of glory, his father once again approaches the edge of his box, looking down proudly upon his son. He raises his hands again, all eyes turn towards the Lord of the Golden Bay. I present to you my people. He pauses for a long moment at that, takes in everyone. There's just something behind his eyes, those words. The pride of Noire! John Franklin Montelio, heir to House Montelio, future Lord of the Nine Pools and bearer of the banner of the Golden Bay! Alas! This title will no longer be spoken. A surge of whispers through the crowd. John's confident pose begins to break as he turns a nervous eye towards his father, towards the two of you. Condorado responds to honor. It is the very lifeblood of the Tortle people. Honor must lead us. So it is with great pride that I announce that our wayward luminary will be suspending his gallivanting across the worlds and will henceforth remain here, upon this bay, with his people. I hereby resign as monarch to hand the title and the weight to one whose heart is more deserving. One who has never turned from his honor. Now cheer all subjects of Condorala for John Franklin Montelio, ruler of the Golden Bay, Lord of the Nine Pools, and seventh King of Coin of Zendaya!
It will call it there!